Holding on Gimel Amud Beis, seven lines from the end of the narrow lines, line of employees, I say. Gemara says, Gufa, getting back to something we said before, Amud Beshur and Levi, Krach v'cholas samuch loy, a walled city, as well as any place that's nearby it, v'chol hanira imoy, and anything else that's seen together with it, in other words, that you can see that you can see the walled city from it, or it from the walled city. So all of that is considered like the walled city. In other words, the walled city itself, it's walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, reads on the 15th. So therefore, these places also do. Which again gets into, for example, the question of the neighborhoods of the new Yerushalayim that we talked about yesterday. Those are outside the original walled city, but because of the Samoch HaNira that we're saying over here, then they're able to read on the 15th. So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Samoch Afa Pisha Eina Nira, Nira Afa Pisha Eina Samoch. It means, even if the place is nearby the city, even though they can't see into the city, or Nira Afa Pisha Eina Samoch, or vice versa, still they count as one city. The Ritva gives a logical reason for it. He says, because listen, when you have, for example, what's the purpose of a walled city is that, for example, when there's a war, you'll be able to take shelter inside the city. Well, the people of those nearby places are going to do the same thing as well. Different Mephoshim and different Poskim talk about whether does there have to be any greater connection between them, for example, as far as municipal services or as far as an Eruv, etc. But basically, we're saying over here that if it's samoch or nira. So the Gemara says, "Bishleimen nira af b'shein is samoch." I can understand when we're saying a place which is visible, even though it's not nearby. Mashkachas lokan di yosfa b'rosh ahar. So you have an example. Let's say, for example, the nearby place is on top of a mountain. So they're able to see from there into the city. So therefore, so it's nira, even though it may not be so samoch, it may not be so close by. But how would you have the other way around where it's close and not, but not visible? So Rabbi Yemiya says, let's say, for example, the outlying area is in a valley, which is low down. Now, you know, the obvious question is, what was the Gemara wondering about? The same way as you could have if it's on a mountain, it's nira, and not that, even though it's not samoch, of course, in a valley, it could be the other way around. There is actually a machloikas rishonim when we're talking about over here of samoch and nira. Do both of them mean that they have to be within a tum shabbos, or is it when it comes to samoch maybe, but when it comes to nira maybe it would be good enough even if it's outside of tum shabbos. So the Taz actually in Hilchus Megillah, in Hilchus Purim and Shulchan Aruch talks about this and says that our Gemara may bear on this. The Gemara starts by wondering. He has a long explanation that when we count, that if we do say that we count a mill, we would maybe count the mill as it would be on level ground. We don't consider, for example, so if you have the nearby areas on top of a mountain, not necessarily would we count the slope of the mountain. We would consider as if the mountain wasn't there, basically, and measure on that basis, as though it was flat land. So now the question was then, so in that case, why would we do the same? In that case, there wouldn't be a reason to necessarily do the same thing with a city in a valley, the Gemara assumed in its Havamina. Because after all, a mountain, you could say, okay, you know, you're not counting the slope of the mountain, but why wouldn't you count the slope of the valley? That's a different thing. The valley doesn't really have any great importance. And so the answer is essentially that you could say that the little outlying area over there is actually in a valley that has very steep walls, almost like cliffs. So there's no topography. There's no ups and downs to measure. Either way, you're gonna get the same value whether you measure as though it was flat land or not. And therefore, so then the determining thing would be whether it's within the Tum Shabbos according to the opinions that require that. That's what the Taz says, and then there are a couple of other achronim that also talk about various answers to that. Anyway, so again, you have a machlokes whether for the purpose of nira it needs to be within a tum shabbos, and again that'll affect the question of how many of the neighborhoods of modern Yerushalayim have to read on the 15th. So as far as I know, all of them do, although there are some of them where the poskim say that maybe they should be reading on the 14th to be on the safe side. Another din, V'omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Krach Yoshev Alav Seif Hukaf, a city that was originally settled and only later on was it surrounded by a wall. Nidan Kikfar, such a place counts as a village. Rashi says we're talking about as far as the dinim of Bote Ore Choyma, as far as that the Torah tells us that if you have a house in a walled city and you sell, and again, the determining thing is if it's walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, just like we're saying here as far as Megillah. So it's only considered a walled city only if the wall was built before the houses. Tosfos says that no, actually, we're talking about as far as Kriyas HaMegillah. So my time. So why is that? Because the pasuk says the ish ki yimko beis moshav irchoima. The pasuk says if a person sells a house of dwelling that is in a city that is of a walled city. So meaning shohukov of a seif yoshav. So the implication moshav irchoima of the settlement of a walled city implies shohukov of a seif yoshav. First it was walled, then it was settled. Not that it was settled first and then only later on they surrounded it with a wall. So the question becomes then, if we say in that case, then how do we know with any given city in Eretz Yisrael whether it was walled first or whether it was settled first? We're saying that they found a bunch of walled cities when they came and conquered Eretz Yisrael, but how do they know about any one of them, whether it was walled first or whether it was settled first? So the Meiri says, okay, one possibility is maybe they knew Al Pi HaDibur, maybe they were told by Ruach HaKodesh which ones were which. He says, and so do other Rishonim, that maybe you don't need that. Most cities, the Ran says, usually that's how they do. They first build the wall, then they start building houses inside. In other words, they decide that this particular area should be a fortress, or it's a natural strong point or whatever, and therefore they build a wall, and then they start building houses inside it. So therefore, unless we know it was otherwise, then we can assume it was the right kind. They talk about also, does it count? The fact that Goyim were living in it before, does that make a difference? Maybe you could say that the fact that these cities were beforehand inhabited by Goyim, so therefore it doesn't count. In other words, when Jews come and settle there, it has a wall already, and therefore that's good enough for our purposes. Another din, V'omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, krach she'en by asara baklonin, of a city that doesn't have 10 baklonin in it. Now we're going to learn in the Mishnah, daf hey, about these asara baklonin. These are 10 people who are, Rashi says, betalin mimalachdon. They don't have a regular job, or if they do, they're able to take off from it easily. So that they're always in shul for shachris, and they're always in shul for all the tefillahs. Rashi brings from a Gemara in Brachas that says when it's time for davening and Hashem comes there, Kav Yochol, and doesn't find there 10 people, then it's not such a good thing. So therefore, these Asara Baklonim are always there available to make the meeting. So again, you know, we could be talking about that there are people who, for example, are living off a trust fund or an inheritance or whatever, and therefore are able to learn all day. We could be talking about people who have a part-time job, which is enough for them to support themselves, but they're able to have time in the morning and evening to be there in shul. We could be talking whatever the case. The point is that you need a city to be considered to have asara baklonim. The next Mishnah tells us in order for it to be considered a big city and not a village. So now we're saying if it doesn't have asara baklonim, then it counts as a kfar, as a village. Now, are we talking about, so Tosfos says, we're not talking about the cities that are walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Tosfos says those cities read on the 15th, regardless whether they have a Asara Baklonim or not. Many Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, the Gemara is talking about it here, even about a walled city. And then you have, so the Ramban says it means in that case, what we're saying is they go back to being like a regular city and they doubt to read on the 14th. And a number of other Rishonim, the Ran and some others, say that what it means is that they have their choice. They could read on the 15th if they want, but if not, then they can read on the previous Yom HaKnisa, as we said in the Mishnah. So let's say, for example, the 15th comes out on a Wednesday, then they could conceivably read on Monday, which is 2 days earlier. So whatever the case. So it doesn't have a Asara Baklonim, then it's considered like a kfar. So the Gemara says, my Kamash Malon, what is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi coming to tell us? Tanena, we learn in the next Mishnah. Ezehi Ir Gdola, what is considered a big city? Kol sheyesh ba asara baklanim. Only if it has 10 baklanim, pachas v'chana is a kfar. And if it's any less than that, it's considered a village. So what's his chiddush? The answer is krach itzirichalei. The chiddush is itzirichalei. The chiddush is he had to tell us about a krach, which means a large city. Namely, in other words, the Mishnah had said Ezi Ir Gdola, implying that if not, then it's an Ir Kana. But the word Ir itself can mean what we think of nowadays as a village or a town or something. The word Krach specifically suggests a large city. So again, according to Tosfos, we're talking about not a walled one, not one that's walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. According to the other Rishonim, we could even be talking about one that's walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. In any case, the Mishnah is not directly addressing that. That's Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's Chiddush. Afagav the Mikli Lema Alma, even though people often visit it from out of town, and many of them don't do malacha when they come to town. Many of them come there, whether it's on vacation or whether it's they come there for some particular business purpose, and once they've finished their business, then they're available to be in shul. So you would say in that case, so you're always going to have, in such a place, you're always going to have a minion when the time comes. So what's the problem? Why shouldn't it be an Ir Gdola? The point is that no, you need the 10 people to be people who live in that city and therefore are available regularly for shul. So the fact that you have a big city, even though many people visit it from out of town and you'll be able to make up the minion with them, that's not enough. The Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Now Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says another din in this connection. Krach shecharav all of a soif yashav, a city, a walled city that was destroyed and later on rebuilt and resettled, nidon kikrach. And it's still considered like a krach, it's still considered like a walled city as far as when you read the Megillah. So the Gemara says, my chorev, what do we mean by it was destroyed? Ilema chorvo chaymoisav, do you mean that the walls were destroyed? So what's the chiddush? Yoshav ein lo yoshav loy. You're telling me that only if it was resettled and the walls were rebuilt, then you read on the 15th, but otherwise you read on the 14th. Batanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yosi, the pasuk says about botei orechoyma asher loy choyma. The pasuk says that the city has a wall, but you have a kri uksiv over there. Actually, the ksiv is that here the Gemara kind of combines together the kri and ksiv. You have loy lamed vav aleph. In the pasuk over there, you have a kriyuk siv. You have the it's written loy with an aleph. It's read loy with a vav. We pronounce those the same. I think the Taimonim pronounce them slightly differently. Whatever the case, the point is that the ksiv would imply that the place does not have a wall. Asher loy with an aleph choyma, that there's no wall. But the kri is asher loy choyma, that it has a wall. And what does that mean? Why the kriyuk siv? It means it doesn't matter whether the place has a wall now, as long as it previously had a wall at the time of Yeshua ben Nun, then that's what determines its status. So therefore, so if you have a city that was walled in the times of Yeshua ben Nun and now is not, then you would still read there on the 15th, even if now it doesn't have a wall. So what are we talking about? So what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mean when he says all of a soif Yoshav? So the answer is Ela, my chorev, shechorev me'asar batlonim. You're right. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says it was destroyed, he doesn't mean that the physical walls were destroyed. He means the ruchnistic walls were destroyed. Namely, that for a while there were no 10 batlonim over there. But now there are 10 batlonim over there. So now we're talking about, again, according to Tosfos, we're talking about not a city that was walled in the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Again, according to the other Rishonim, they would differ on that point. So the point is, in other words, Tosfos says, the chiddush is, if you have a village that eventually grew and became a big city, then okay, once it became a big city, the pashtus were always going to have asara batlonim. But here we already had one time where the asara batlonim were gone. So now maybe we should consider it a kfar forevermore and consider that the likelihood is in the future the same thing might happen. No, we're saying that right now that we have the asara batlonim back, then that's good enough for our purposes and it goes back to being a city. And therefore, they read Megillah on the 14th, and they don't move it up to the Yom HaKnisa. But Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, then Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says another thing in connection with reading the Megillah. Loid va'oinoi v'geach haroshim. These three cities, they're all cities that were originally in the territory of Shevet Binyamin. Lloyd is more or less the city of Lod nowadays, or some part of it, or someplace nearby it. Oh, you know, there's a place nowadays. It's on the outskirts of Tel Aviv, directly north of the airport. Geya Haroshim, they're not completely sure where it is. Anyway, so all of those, Mukofis Chaimim, Mes Yeshua ben Nun Havu, you should know that all those places were surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore they would read the Megillah on the 15th. So Rashi explains, why does Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi have to tell us that? In fact, what Tosfos points out, one of them, Onoi, is actually mentioned in a Mishnah in Erchin, specifically as a wall, as a place that's walled from the time of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nun. The point is, as we're going to see in a second, the walls of those places, the walls that you see, the walls that you could see on those places in the times of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, looked much newer. So therefore, he has to tell us that you should know they do go all the way back to the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. So the Gemara asks, Vahani Yeshua Benani, you're telling me that Yeshua built, or in other words, that these cities were already built in Yeshua's times? V'ha'el Pal Benani. We find in a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, someone named El Pal from Shevet Binyamin, that it says that he built those cities. Duchtiv, Uvnei El Pal Evero Misham Vashomer. The pasuk says, if it's listing various descendants of Shevet Binyamin, the sons of El Pal are Eva Misham and Shomer, or Tanakhs actually have Shomed with a Dalad, but whatever. Who bonas Oinoi vs Lloyd of Neseha? He built Oinoi and Lloyd and its daughters throughout Tanakh. When talking about a city, always means the outlying villages. The way you had in those times, you usually had one major walled city in an area, and then surrounding you'd have villages where the farmers would live and produce food that would be brought to the big city, as we're going to talk about soon, about Masapk and Mayim and Muslim. We're going to talk about on the bottom of the Yomud. Anyway, so who is it? Now, here, the Gemara is evidently taking it that the who goes back on El Pal, but he who had these sons, Ava, Misham, and Shomer, he's also the one who built these cities. Mephoshim on the Pasuk actually say that maybe it's referring to Shomer. Anyway, the point is that we see that now this El Pal and his son Shomer lived after the time of Yeshua ben Nun, the Pashtos, and were saying they built those cities. So the Gemara answers back, V'litai Meich, knew, and according to your own Svara that you're asking from Pesukim and Divrei Hayamim, you could say, Osa Benonhu, Osa, the king of Yehuda, this is a great-grandson of Shlomo HaMelech, built these cities. Dichtiv, Vayiven, well, the Gemara says, Vayiven, Osa, it's Orei HaBetzur, it's Asher Yehuda. There's no such Pasuk, actually. Rashi had a different view, so Vayichadik, Osa, which also there's no such Pasuk. But what it's supposed to be is there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim by Yiven Orei Mitzura Yehuda that also built fortified cities in Yehuda. Now these places are in Shevet Binyamin, but Shevet Binyamin was part of the kingdom of Yehuda at that point. And we see Rashi says we see from the pesukim over there that also strengthened and fortified cities in the territory of Binyamin. So in that case, then what do you, so you, Machshin, who are asking from the Pasuk about El Pal, in that case, why aren't you asking from the Pasuk from Asa, who was even later than El Pal? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar answers now. What it is like this. Hani Mukofis Chomim Mimes Yeshua ben Nun Havu. All these three places, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, they were all surrounded by a wall already in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. What happened was, Choruv Bimei Pelegesh Begiva, these places were destroyed during the civil war after Pelegesh Begiva. We talked briefly the other day about Pelegesh Begiva. There was a terrible incident in Shevet Binyamin. All the other Shvatim went to make a long story short, all the other Shvatim went to war against Shevet Binyamin, and the cities over there were destroyed, and most of the Shevet was wiped out. We said one of the simchas of Tu B'Av is that Shevet Binyamin was readmitted into the Jewish people. Anyway, so during all that time, these cities, which are all in Binyamin's territory, were all destroyed. But also El Pal Benani. So now El Pal came in the next generation and rebuilt the cities. Hodu Inpul, later on, during the hundreds of years after El Pal's times, the cities were falling apart again. The walls were falling down. Asa Shaptsinu, and Asa came and fixed them up. So in other words, when the Pasuk says Vayiven Ore Mitzura Yehuda, it doesn't mean that he built these cities from scratch. It means he refortified them where the walls were in a bad way. And the same way, when it says that Hu Bonas Oinoi about El Pal, that he built Oinoi and so forth, that it doesn't mean he built them from scratch. It means that he rebuilt the cities that had already been there. Rabbi Hananel apparently has a slightly different girsa. He says that El Pal also fixed them up rather than building them from scratch. Anyway, the point is that therefore, yes, these cities are from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. So that's what Rashi points out. That's why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi has to tell us all of this. If you look at those walls, they don't look like walls from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. They look like much later walls. So now, therefore, he's telling you they are much later walls, but the places were already walled in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. The Gemara says Dekanami. In fact, we can prove that from the Loshan HaPasuk in connection with Asa, Yichtiv, because the previous Pasuk says, or the next Pasuk actually, after Vayivan Orem Mitzurah Yehuda, the next Pasuk continues, why did he build or repair these cities? Vayomel Yehuda Nivnes Orem Ha'eva, he, Asa, said to the people of Yehuda, let's build these cities that we should have them as strong points right now when things are quiet. So Miklal the Orim Havum Ikra. So you see, the fact that he's saying let's build these cities implies that there already existed cities in those places which were walled. Shmaminasa, therefore that proves it. That also didn't build them from scratch. So therefore they are from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Next, another din, Ba'amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Noshim Chayovas from Mikra Megillah. Women are chayev in Mikra Megillah, Sha'af Hein Hoyu Ba'oisei HaNes. Because they too were involved in that ness. Meaning, in other words, so Rashi says it means, listen, the Gzeira was on the entire Jewish people. Lahashmid la'arug la'abed, etc. Minar v'adzakin taf v'nashim kola. So the women were just in it just as much as the men. Tosfos brings an explanation from the Rashbam that what it means is more than that. It means the whole ness purim primarily happened through a woman, through Esther. And the same thing we say about Hanukkah also, we say the same expression, Apein Hoyu Ba'isan Nes. And they also, a great part of the saving of the Jewish people was accomplished by Yehudis over there, the whole story where she cut off the Greek general's head. And by Pesach also, we say the same expression, and they also, B'schus Nashim Tzidkanias Nigalu. Okay, Tosafist doesn't like that explanation because the expression Apein Hoyu Ba'isan Nes is a little bit out of place. What do you mean also? Then in that case, it just did. The Ikurnes happened through them. So no, he prefers Rashi's explanation that in all these three cases, the women were just as much threatened by the Gzeira as the men. Anyway, so therefore, so women are chayiv in Mikra Megillah. Now, this gets into the question then, does that mean that women can, that in that case, usually we have the rule in Halacha that to be motzi somebody else, you need to be on an equal level of chiyuv with that person. So now, for example, when it comes to, let's say, Kiddush, there's a question whether women are chayav to the same extent as men, and therefore we say women shouldn't make Kiddush for men. And the same thing in other things. What about over here? We seem to be saying the chiyuv of women is equal to that of men. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from the Halachas Gedolos that says that no, a woman can be motzi other women, but not men. So in fact, there is a multi-way machlokas among the poskim. What exactly is the halacha in this? Is it that a woman can in fact be motzi men? Is it that she can't, but she can be motzi another woman? Or is it that, what about, can she lain for a bunch of women? There are poskim who say that a woman can't lain even for a bunch of other women. So you have different opinions about that in halacha. On top of that, you have the question, if a woman is laning, let's say for herself, or according to the opinion that she can lane for other women, if she's laning for them, would she make a bracha, would she make the same bracha as we do? There are, in fact, Rishonim who learn that the chiyuv of women over here is not really the same as for men. We're saying over here, Noshim Chayavas Mikra Megillah. Tosfos points out, we're not using the expression that they're Chayav Lishmoya Megillah, that they're Chayav to hear the Megillah, implying that they have the same Chiyuv to read it. On the other hand, not all the Rishonim agree with that. And in fact, in particular, the Marcheshes, who was the last Rav of Vilna before World War II, and he was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, Sashem Yikim Domoy. Anyway, he says that you have those two different Chiyuvim, he says. You have the Chiyuv to hear the Megillah and the Chiyuv to read the Megillah. He says there's a logical reason to say that women are chayev in one and not the other, because when it comes to Kriyas and Megillah, you have two points. There's the matter of Zikorin, that the Megillah is considered a Zikorin for the story of Amalek. And in that case, women aren't chayev in that. Women, he points out, women aren't chayev in the Melchama to destroy, in the mitzvah of the battle to destroy Amalek, because women don't go to war. Therefore, they wouldn't have that particular chiyuv. On the other hand, then you have the second part of Persuvinissa, that women are equally chayev in. But therefore, even if we say that a woman can read the Megillah for herself or for a group of other women, maybe in fact, a number of the Rishonim say that the bracha should be Lishmoya Megillah or Lishmoya Kriyas HaMegillah or various Neschois like that. So the Maisa, there are poskim who say that, for example, if a woman is laning for herself, or also for that matter, when you're going on Mivtza Purim and you're laning from Mivtza Megillah and you're laning for women who have not heard Megillah and there are no men over there, and you already were Yotze Megillah, there are poskim who say that you should in fact make the bracha, or that she should make the bracha lishmoya Megillah rather than the regular bracha, of course, is the regular bracha is what is the regular bracha? Al mikra Megillah. So there are poskim who say that instead you should be saying lishma, that instead she should be saying, or you should be saying for her, lishma ya Megillah. On the other hand, if you did say al mikra Megillah b'dieved, then most of them will say that's okay also. So these are practical things to be aware of when you're going on Mivtza Megillah on Purim. Onward. Purim shechalias b'Shabbos. If Purim comes out on Shabbos, now for us out in non-walled cities, that can never happen. Purim nowadays never comes out on Shabbos according to the fixed calendar. But in Shushan Purim, or the Purim of Yerushalayim, and other walled cities could. So when it comes out on Shabbos, so you don't lane Megillah, as we're going to say on Amud Beis. But Sholem V'Doshin being Yonash O'Yoyim, we ask and we Doshin in the halachas of the day. In other words, so Rashi says actually, we Doshin Igeres Purim, meaning the Megillah, we Doshin about the Megillah in public. Many of the other Rishonim say that we don't mean the Megillah itself, we mean the halachas of Purim. So the Gemara says, "My Iyu Purim." Why mention specifically Purim? That's correct not only as far as Purim, but after the Yom Tov Nami. The same thing applies really to all Yom Tovim. D'tanya Moshe Tikkun Lahem Yisrael, she would show them the Joshim mean Yonah Shoyim. Moshe made a takana for the Jewish people that they should be asking and they should be darshaning and delving into the halachas that are relevant to the day. Hilchos Pesach for Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres for Atzeres, Hilchos Chag Chag. So what's Rebbe Shurban Levi's chiddush that on Purim we do the same thing? The answer is Purim it's Tzrichalei. The answer is the chiddush is that you do it on Purim. The Tosfos explains, in other words, the Gemara's question is, Purim, you don't find a chiyuv to darshan 30 days before. But we're saying you do it on that day. But Yom Tovim, you darshan even 30 days beforehand, and yet you do it on that day. So what's the chiddush of mentioning that specifically on Purim, we darshan boi b'yom, when else are you going to do it? The answer is Shabbos it's Tzrichalei. The chiddush is when Purim comes out on Purim, it's Tzrichalei. The chiddush is that we have to say that about Purim, when it comes out on Shabbos. You would think that we should make a gzera that you shouldn't because of Rabba's gzera. We're going to learn at the end of Dalet Amud Beis that about Rabba's gzera. It's not his original gzera, but in other words, he's the one who formulated it and set it out. That the Chachamim made a gzera, you don't lane the Megillah on Shabbos because you might take it to a Chacham to learn how to lane and you're going to carry it four Amos in Rosh Hashanah. So once we said that you can't lane the Megillah on Shabbos, maybe you shouldn't be doushing about it on Shabbos either, because that you may come to lay in the Megillah. So, Kamash Malan, therefore, Rabbi Shulban Levi wants us to know that that's not the case, and you do doushing in about Megillah's Esther or about the halachas of Purim on Purim Shechal B'Shabbos. An interesting point, by the way, in that connection is the Megillah Mukta on Shabbos? So there are different opinions about it among the poskim. The generally accepted halacha is that when it comes to a regular Shabbos throughout the year, it's not. It's like any other Kisvei HaKodesh. It's not Mukta. When it comes to when Purim comes out on Shabbos, or also when Purim comes out on Sunday, so when Purim comes out on Shabbos, we're saying it's Mukta, because of Zera Dirabba. But also when Purim comes out on Sunday, then on Shabbos from Plaga Mincha and on, the Megillah is Mukta, because conceivably from Plaga Mincha and on would be a valid time to be laying the Megillah. So therefore, so already at that time, then you have the Isser, the Gzeira Dirabba, to not lay in the Megillah. Therefore, the Megillah itself becomes Mukta from that time on. Another din of Rabbi Shurban Levi, but Omer Rabbi Shurban Levi, Chayav Adam Likris is a Megillah by Laila or Shanoi Sabayoyim. A person is supposed to lay in the Megillah by night and repeat it again by day. And Rashi says this is a Zecher for the nest where they were crying out to Hashem both by day and by night. Shanema, as the Pasuk says, Kapitel Chof Beis of Tilim, Lamatzeach Halayelas Hashachar, is all talking about the events, is all David writing Baruch HaKodesh about Esther and about the events of Purim. The Gemara in Masechta Yuma explains that Esther herself is called Ayelas HaShachar, and you have various psukim in the capital over there that refer to Esther's own situation and the situation of the Jewish people at that time. And the pasuk says there, Elokai Ekra Yoimam, Hashem, I call out by day, V'loy Sana, and you don't answer, V'layla, and by night, V'loy Jumiali, and don't be silent to me. So in other words, we see that they were crying out to Hashem by day and by night. So in the Zecher of that, therefore, we lay in the Megillah by day and by night, or by night and by day. Now, the word Ulashanoisa can have a double meaning. It can mean to repeat it. It can also mean to learn the Mishnayos of it. So, Sover Mina, so the Chachmei Yeshiva thought that when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said this part of his, that he meant Lamikri Balaila Ulamisna Masnissa Dw Mama, that maybe what he meant is you lay in the Megillah at night, but then you have a chiyuv to learn the Mishnayos of Megillah in the morning. That would be Ulashanoisa. Omalahu Rabbi Yumiya, but Rabbi Yumiya says to the Chachamim, no, Ludidimi Fawshale Limine de Rabchiya Ba'aba. Rabchiya Ba'aba personally explained to me, it means going to Amri Inchi, the word Ulashanoisa is like the popular expression that people say, Ever Pausha Zadov Esnia, I'll finish reviewing this parasha and I'll learn it over again. So in other words, the word Ulashanoisa does not mean to learn the Mishnayos, it means to repeat it over again. So it means we lay in the Megillah by night and we repeat it again by day. Itmar Nami, they said also, Omer Abchelba, Omer Ula Bira, Chayav Adam Likris, the Megillah Balaila, Shanois Bayoim, a person is Chayav to read the Megillah by night and repeat it by day. Shanemar, you have a different pasuk that expresses this. Laman is a Mercha Chavid below Yidom, in order that my Chavid, meaning my Neshama, should sing to you and not be silent. Hashem Alekai, La Ola Maideka, Hashem, I will always thank you. So in other words, the double expression, is a Mercha Chavid and below Yidom, is talking about is day and night respectively. So what does this have to do with the Megillah? Rashi brings from a medrash from Psikta that capital also has to do with the events of Purim. In fact, either that medrash or a different one says that when Haman was leading Mordechai in the procession through the streets of Shushan, then Esther was saying this capital Arimim Hashem Kidilisani in gratitude to Hashem for that. So therefore, it also has to do with Purim, and therefore the double expression Lamani Tamecha Chavid and V'lo Yidom means a laning by day and by night. The interesting question is, what about them? So what does that mean as far as saying Shechionu? Usually you say Shechionu the first time you do a mitzvah, but not the second. For example, Netilas Lulav, we say Shechionu the first day. We don't say it the rest of the days. Over here, what do we do as far as Shechionu by night and by day? On the face of it, we should only say by night and not by day. Tosfos over here says, on the other hand, the day one is the more important one because that's the one where you have the real Pirsumei Nisa. So Tosfos points out that and other things. You have the other mitzvahs of Purim primarily take place by day. So you have a good deal of discussion about that among the poskim. In fact, there are some achronim, I think the noted Yehuda, for example, who learns that originally the takana was only to read by day, and only later on did they make the takana to read by night. We see, for example, with these people from the villages where we said they read on the Yom HaKnisa, the implication is they're only reading by day because by night they're not yet in town. So for all those reasons, many poskim say that yes, they, even though you made Shechionu by night, this is one of those exceptions, you will make Shechionu by day. Here on this, you have a machloikus between the Alter Rebbe and the Tzemach Tzedek. The Alter Rebbe writes in the Siddur that you only make Shechionu by night. However, the Tzemach Tzedek says, and you can find it right there noted in the Siddur, Onu Mevorchen Shechionu Gam Bayom, that we also say Shechionu also by day, and that's based on the Tzemach Tzedek disagrees with the Alter Rebbe on that and says that no, we do in fact say Shechionu by day as well, and that's what we do. And also, of course, the daytime Shechionu also covers the other mitzvahs of Purim that we're going to be doing during the day. We said in the Mishnah, Elashak Forem Akdimin L'Yom HaKnisa, we said the villages move up the laning to the, they're able to move up the laning to the Yom HaKnisa. So we said, according to most, we showed him that meant the Monday or Thursday before Purim. We said we mentioned the idea from the Shiltas that it means Yud Gimel, and that it means the day of Tainus Esther, and Tainus Esther itself sometimes is movable if it comes out on Shabbos, whatever. So Amar Rav Chanina. So why do we do that? Chachamim hekelu al akfarim. The chachamim were lenient with the people from the villages. Lias machdimin liyam achnisa, that they can move up the laning to the yam achnisa. Kedeshi sapku mayim umazin lachem shebakratim. In order that they will supply water and food to their brothers in the cities. In other words, in the big cities, they don't grow their own food. They depend on the farmers and the villages around there to supply their food. So therefore, so in order that they should be able to supply the food, in other words, it sounds like in order that they should have the free time on Purim to do that, therefore we allow them to do it on the Yom HaKnisa. So the Gemara says, well, remember that the Kraken Havi. So you're telling me then that this dispensation of them laning the previous Yom HaKnisa is for the sake of the people in the big cities, in order that the villagers should have the ability to be able to bring them food and water that they were going to use on Purim itself. What we learn in our Mishnah, Chalvias Besheni, we said if Purim comes out on Monday, then the villages and the big cities all lane on that day. The im isa. Now, if you're telling me that the purpose is in order that the people, the villages, should not be so busy on Purim like this, they have to hear Megillah. If they also have to be bringing water and food, they may not be able to. And therefore, we're saying in order that they should have time to bring water and food from their villages, therefore, we're going to allow them to lane Megillah early. Well, in this case, they're not laning it early. The im isa. If you're telling me in that case, they should be able to move it up to the previous Yom HaKnisa, which is Thursday. And the idea is, in other words, then the previous Thursday, they'll hear the Megillah. Then on Purim day itself, they won't be busy. They already heard the Megillah. Now they'll have time to bring Mayim HaMazon. The answer is you can't. Havalahu Asara. If you did that, then they'd be laning on the 10th. Because if you're saying if Purim is on Monday, then the previous Yom HaKnisa, Thursday, is the 10th of Adar. The Chachamim never made the Takana to lane on the 10th. We learned on the first Amud of our Masechta that you only have, we learned in the Mishnah actually, we said that you only have 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. And on Beis Amud Aleph, we learned two different drushes, how we know from the words of the Megillah itself that you only have those days available. So therefore, the 10th is not available. So in that case, it means the B'nai HaKfarim are going to be busy doing both. They're going to have to hear the Megillah as well as supply the water and food. But normally, those will be on different days. The Gemara says, okay, Toshma, Chalvias B'chamishi. Let's look at later in the Mishnah. It said if Purim comes out on Thursday, K'farim B'ayoras, let's call it B'yoyim. Again, we said the villages and the big cities lain on that day. V'im Issa. If you're telling me that we want to give them time on Purim, that they shouldn't have to be busy having to hear the Megillah because we want them to be able to supply water and food, lichtimul Yom HaKnisa, then fine, let them move up to the previous Yom HaKnisa, which is Monday, and that's no problem. The Achadasahu, that's the 11th, and the 11th is a valid day for laying in the Megillah. The answer is me Yom HaKnisa, the Yom HaKnisa lo dachinan. Fine, but we're not going to move from one Yom HaKnisa to another. Once Purim comes out on a Yom HaKnisa, we're going to leave always that the villages lane on that day. And the Meiri gives a logical reason for it, because the Loi Plug, the Chachamim generally don't make distinctions in their Takanas. Once we said you can't move from Monday to the previous Thursday, because that would put it too early, that would put it on the 10th, then we don't want to also say that if it's on Thursday, we should be able to move it to the previous Monday. Otherwise, people are always going to think you can move it to the previous one, and they're going to end up laning it on a day, on the 10th, in a different year, when you're not supposed to. Okay, Toshma. So let's bring another proof. We learn in the next Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amasai. Rabbi Yehuda says, when do we apply this dispensation that the villagers can lane on the previous Yom HaKnisa, even though it's not yet for him? Makam Shenichnasim B'Sheni U'Vachamishi, only when the people from the villages come into town on Monday and Thursday. Ava Makam She'en Nichnasim B'Sheni U'Vachamishi, but in places where they don't come into town on Monday and Thursday, Ein Koin Oisa Alabizmana, then they can only lane it on the actual day of Purim itself. Now, if you're telling me the purpose of this takana is for the sake of the people in the big city, so that the people of the villages should be able to bring them water and food, so what's the logic? What's the logic? Because the people from the villages don't feel like coming into town on Monday and Thursday, whether it's for their dinei Torah, whether it's for laning, as we talked about on Beis Amud Aleph, whatever the case, because the B'nai HaKfarim are slacking off and they don't want to come into town on Monday and Thursday. Therefore, we're going to make the people of the big city lose. We're going to make the people of the big city lose out. That we're going to say that therefore we're not there. Therefore, the villagers are going to say, you know what, then if we have to come in on Purim and hear the Megillah, then we can't bring in water and food. We don't have the time to do both. So the answer is the Gemara says, you're right. Loy tema, you have to correct the original statement that we made. It wasn't kideshi yisapu mayim u'mazon. It wasn't in order that they should supply water and food, which implies, in other words, that we're doing it for the sake of the big cities. And therefore, we're saying, therefore, let's not keep the B'nai HaKfarim too busy on that day. Instead, it's Ella Mipnation Asap, the Maimon Wazan Lachan Shabakrakim. It's sort of as a reward for them because they supply water and food to the big cities. Therefore, we give them a break and we allow them to lay in the Megillah early. So now we understand if they're not coming in on Monday and Thursday anyway, then in that case, we don't give them that dispensation because it's not a kula for them anyway. They don't deserve a schar because they're anyway not coming in and they're anyway not coming in necessarily and bringing water and food. So once we say that, then that also answers the question about the cases where it's on Monday and Thursday because they're misafkim mayim or mazin. Therefore, we give them a break and we allow them to come in. Since they're anyway coming in on Monday and Thursday, then they can lay in the Megillah. Well, Purim itself is Monday or Thursday, then they can do both. So then there's not a problem. So that's what it is. The fact that we tell them that they can lane, the fact that we allow them to lane on the earlier days is we're saying is a schar, is a reward for them for the fact that they're supplying food to the big city. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Kate said, Chalvius Vashani Vashabas, Kfarim Vayoris Jolis Kohen Babiyan Kola. So now in the Mishnah, we went through all the seven possibilities of the days of the week that Purim could fall out on. Again, in our Loha HaKavua, Purim can only fall on four of them. But in those times when they were Makadosh up here, it could be on any of the 7 days of the week. And the Mishnah goes through it. Purim is on Monday, here's what we do. If it's on Tuesday, here's what we do. Now, if you notice in that sequence, we're kind of going backwards in the days of the order of the month. When Purim comes out on Monday, we're saying that the people from the villages are laning on that same day, which is the 14th of Adar. When Purim comes out on Tuesday or on Wednesday, then they're moving it back to the previous Monday, which is respectively the 13th or the 12th of Adar. And we go through like that. Then when Purim is on Thursday, we're back to the 14th of Adar. When Purim is on Friday, then they're laning on the 13th and so forth. So the Gemara says, Maishnod Reisha de Nokat Sidura de Yarcha. Why is it in the first part of the Mishnah, it mentions the days of the month in order, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Or Maishna Sefer, the Nakat Sidura the Yomi. Why in the Sefer is it going according to the days of the week? In other words, why doesn't the Mishnah tell us? Well, the Mishnah could have told us as follows. When does it happen that you lay in on the 11th if Purim is on Sunday? When does it happen you lay in on the 12th if Purim is on if Purim is on Wednesday or on Shabbos, etc.? Why didn't it do it like that? And the answer is I didn't mishapchile, because then you're gonna get confused. Because you have to mention all the days of the week. And if you're going to mention the days of the week out of order in order to put the days of the month in order, it's going to get confusing to remember which one is which. So therefore, Nakat Sidura Diyomi, so it goes according to the order of the days of the week. So we're not actually mentioning in the Mishnah after all. We're not saying explicitly in the Mishnah that if Purim is on such and such a day, then the Kfarim are laning on such and such a day of the month. We're only mentioning the day of the week. We ourselves calculate what day of the month it is. So that way, there's less confusion. Yes, if you were to say, if the Mishnah were to have explicitly said that, for example, when Purim is on Tuesday, then the Kfarim lay on Monday, which is the 13th, then that would get confusing. But like this, we just say they lay on Monday, and you can figure out for yourself what day of the month that is. So therefore, there's less confusion. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, Chalius be'erev Shabbos b'chula. We said if Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, then we said that. We said that the Kfarim va'yoris gdolus move up to the Yom HaKnisa. We said the villages move to the Yom HaKnisa as usual because they move up to the previous Thursday. The Ayoris gdolus, we said, what do we say in the Mishnah? We said if Purim comes out on Friday, rather, what we said was. We said that the Kfarim Akdim Liyam Aknisa, and we said Ayoris Gdolus and Mokofis Choma Kodin Boba Yoim. both the regular cities and the walled cities all lane on that one day, Friday. Because again, as we're going to say at the bottom of the Amud, you can't lane the Megillah on Shabbos. Therefore, the walled cities can't lane on Shabbos. So instead, they move it up to Friday. We said they can't move it to Sunday because we said on Beis Amud Aleph, V'lo Yaver, that the Megillah implies that you cannot go past the 15th. So since the 15th itself is Shabbos, they can't delay Kriyas Megillah until the 16th. However, the Gemara says, Masnis in Mani. Who is our Mishnah like? E Rebbe. And the answer is E Rebbe, E Rebbe Yosi. Our Mishnah could go like either the our Mishnah that says that both the regular cities and the walled cities laying on the same day on Friday, that could be either according to Rebbe or Rebbe Yosi. My Rebbe, where do we see that Rebbe addresses this? The Tanya. Chalias be'erev Shabbos, a Braisa says, if Purim comes out on Friday, Kfarim v'yoros g'dolos makrimin liyom ha'knisa, then the villages and the big cities move back to the Yom HaKnisa. In other words, even though, so Purim's on Friday, what's the problem? You're allowed to lay in the Megillah on Friday. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama of the Braisa says that the big cities also lay in on Thursday together with the villages. And the Mokof and Choma read on that day on Friday. So in other words, according to the Tanakhama, the big cities and the walled cities are each being moved back one day. Instead of usually the regular cities on the 14th and the walled cities on the 15th, here are the regular cities 13th and the walled cities 14th. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, no, Omer Ani, I say, lo yudoch v'yoros mimakayman. The big cities don't get pushed out of their regular spot. They usually would lay in on the 14th. They lay in on the 14th now also. Rather, the regular cities and the walled cities all lay in on that same day. So now our Mishnah, in other words, cannot go like the Tanakhama of the Braisa, because according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, the big cities are laning on Thursday and the walled cities on Friday, whereas according to the Mishnah, they're both laning on Friday. So the Gemara says, my time in the Tanakhama. Why does the Tanakhama say that we move up both the regular cities and the walled cities? So dichtiv, because the Pasuk says in the Megillah, b'chol shana v'shana, that you have to celebrate Purim every year, implying ma kol shana v'shana ayoras kodmas l'mokafin, just like every other year and every other kriyas, the regular cities always read one day before the walled cities, afkan ayoras kodmas l'mokafin, the same way over here, the big cities have to be before the walled cities. And therefore, the only way to do that is to move up. So given that, again, the walled cities cannot lane on Shabbos, and they cannot lane after Shabbos, the only possibility is to move them to Friday. Automatically, the Tanakhama of the Braisa says, given that means necessarily we have to move up the big cities, other than the non-walled cities. Otherwise, they're laning on the same day, and you don't have B'chol Shana V'Shana. So the Gemara says, so what? The aim of B'chol Shana V'Shana, so what? You could learn B'chol Shana V'Shana differently. Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Ein Nidchen Ayoras Mimukayman. Just like in every regular year, the big cities do not get pushed out of their place. They lane on the 14th. Here also the unwalled cities should not be pushed out of their place. Why should we say that this year is going to be different than every other year and they're going to lay in on the 13th? That's not like B'chol Shana V'Shana. The answer is okay, shiny hacha delay action. The Tanakhama would say there's no other possibility. Given that he understands that the regular cities always have to be before the walled cities, then here there's no other alternative, it means that we're going to have to move them both one up. The Rebbe, my timer, where does Rebbe learn from? He says the other way around. He also learns from B'chol Shana V'Shana. But he says, Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Eina Yoros Nidachim Mimkaimon. He takes the opposite view. Every other year, the big cities are not pushed out of their place. They lay in on the 14th, no matter what day it is. Afkan lo Yodachim Yoros Mimkaimon. The same way over here. We don't push them from its place. They lay in on the 14th. The Gemara says, but still he could learn like the Tanakhama. The aim of B'chol Shana V'Shana. Why can't he learn like the Tanakhama? Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Ayoros Kod Mislim Mokafin. Afkan Nami Ayoros Kod Mislim Mokafin. And again, the answer is Shani Hocha Delay Efshe. Rebbe would say it's impossible. If we did that, we would be violating one part of B'chol Shana V'Shana. Namely, that we'd be moving the regular cities from the 14th to the 13th, and we can't do that. So therefore, he says there's no other alternative. It means in this case, it means that we'll fulfill the B'chol Shana V'Shana in one way, but not the other way. In other words, it comes out according to both Rebbe and the Tanakhama, we're saying we can't fulfill both parts of B'chol Shana V'Shana. We have to have one of them give way in favor of the other, and therefore they're arguing which one should give way. So the Ritva explains, in other words, the machlokas between them is basically what's more, you could say the machlokas between them is basically what's more important, the Purim of the regular cities or the Purim of the walled city. Now, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, for example, that Ramban learns that the Purim of the regular cities is the more important one. As we learned over there, he says that the regular cities, the unwalled cities, were the first ones to start celebrating Purim on their own, without the Sanhedrin, even without the Anshei Knesset Sagdola even telling them to. The walled cities, we said, according to him, didn't even celebrate Purim until several years later, when Mordechai and the rest of the Sanhedrin told them that they have to. So therefore, according to that, the regular cities are the more important ones, and therefore we would follow Rebbe's opinion and say that we don't want to move them from their day unnecessarily. On the other hand, the Ran takes the view. In a way, the Ness in Shushan was the greater one because the Jewish people were given 2 days by Ahasuerus to defeat their enemies rather than just one, like every place else. Therefore, in that sense, you could say that the walled cities are more important, and therefore the Tanakhama would be saying that therefore it's more important to keep the advantage of the walled cities over the regular cities, even if that means moving the regular cities. Okay, so again, so our Mishnah that says that both the regular cities and the walled cities laying on the 14th, that wouldn't be according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, but it would agree with Rebbe. Next, my Rabbi Yossi, where do we see that Rabbi Yossi addresses this point? The Tanya, we have another Braisa, Chalvius for Erev Shabbos, if Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, Mukofim Ukforim Makdimin Liyam HaKnisa, then the walled cities and the villages move to the Yom HaKnisa. So according to the Tanakhama of this Braisa, here the walled cities are laying before the regular cities, and the big cities, the unwalled cities, laying on that day, Friday. So in other words, in that case, you would have the Tanakhama saying that we move the walled cities from the 15th all the way back to the 13th. They're laying one day before the regular city. Rabbi Yossi, Ein Mokafen Kodman La Yoras. Rabbi Yossi says no. The walled cities never come before the regular cities. Ela Ela VeEla Kohen Rabbi Yom. Both groups laying on that day on Friday. So again, let's go through my time in the Tanakhama. Why does the Tanakhama say that we would move the walled cities back to the 13th? Again, Dichtiv B'chol Shana V'Shana. The pasuk says that you celebrate Purim every year. Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Ayoras Ba'Bo Aser. Just like in every year, here's a third factor. Let's consider it. In every year, the regular cities laying on the 14th, and you also have the factor Uzmane Shozeh Lo Uzmane Shozeh, that each one, the regular cities and the walled cities, laying on different days. So therefore, in other words, so the Tanakhama is saying, fine. I agree with Rebbe's point from the previous Braisa that we can't move the big city, that we can't move the unwalled cities from the 14th. But if we still have to have that they and the regular, that they and the walled cities have to have different days, well, then the only choice is to move the walled cities to the 13th. So Afkan, so the same thing over here. Ayores Ba'Ba'aser will leave the regular cities on the 14th. Uzmane Shozeh, Lo Uzmane Shozeh. But we're still going to preserve the fact that the regular cities and the walled cities are going to be on different days. Fine, it means we're going to move the walled cities all the way back to Thursday, the 13th. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema B'chol Shana V'Shana. Why learn that way? Why not say it means Kol Shana V'Shana Ein Mokof and Kodman La'Yores? In every regular year, the walled cities are not before the regular cities, they're after them. Afkan Ein Mokof and Kodman La'Yores. So it should be over here also. And again, the answer is Shani Hocha Dolo Efshar. The Tanakhama of this Braisa would say there's no other alternative. If you want to preserve the factor that the regular cities should have the 14th and that the walled cities are going to have a different day, then the only different day that's available is the 13th. My time of the Rabbi Yossi. Then why does Rabbi Yossi say differently? Well, the opposite. He says, B'chol Shana V'Shana. Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Ein Mokofen Kodman La'Yoras. Just like every other year, the walled cities are not before the regular cities. They're usually after. Afkan Ein Mokofen Kodman La'Yoras. So here also, you can't have the Mokofen before the Ayoras. So according to him, there's no problem having them on the same day, but you just can't have that the Mokofen should be before the Ayoras. Not like in the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rebbe in the previous Braisa. So we were saying that that you always have to have the Ayoras have to be before the Mokofen. Rabbi Yossi doesn't care about that, but they have to necessarily be before. They just can't be after. So they can be at the same time. The Gemara says, "Ve'ema b'chol shana v'shana makol shana v'shana zmanes shozel lo zmanes shozel." Why not? In other years, you have that each place has its own day. The regular city is the 14th. The walled city is the 15th. Afkan zmanes shozel lo zmanes shozel. The same way we should say over here that each one should have its own day, like the Tanakhama, 13th and 14th respectively. And the answer is shiny hachad lo yafshar. It's different over here. Because Rabbi Yossi would say it's impossible, given the constraints that you have to have, that you can't have the Ayaris be after the Mukafim. They can be on the same day, but they can't be after. Then therefore, the only choice is to put them both on the 14th, says Rabbi Yossi. So our Mishnah could go equally well according to Rabbi Yossi. So it wouldn't go according to Rebbe's Tanakhama, who says that in such a kavius, the regular city is laying on the 13th, which is Thursday. It wouldn't go according to the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yossi that the walled city is laying on Thursday, the 13th. Rather, both Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi are saying, each for their own reason, that both the regular cities and the walled cities laying on the 14th, and that's what the Mishnah is saying. So the Gemara says, "V'sava Rebbe Ayoras LaDachinan LeYemaknisa." You're telling me that Rebbe does not hold that big cities can be pushed back to the Yemaknisa. V'hotanya, we learn in a Braisa, Chalias B'Shabbos. If Purim itself comes out on Shabbos, meaning the 14th of Adar, which again we don't have that kliyos nowadays, but in those days you could have that. So if that comes out, Kfarim Makdimin LeYemaknisa, then the villages move back to the Yemaknisa. They lay in on Thursday the 12th. By Yoris Dervis Koden Be'ev Shabbos, the big cities, the Tanakhama of this Braisa says, lain on Friday, so they move it up one day to the 13th, or Mokofas Choymelamacher, and the walled cities lain on Sunday, which is the 15th, which is the normal day they would lain. Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe says, no, Omer Ani, once the unwalled cities are pushed out of their place anyway, they anyway can't lane on their regular day, the 14th, because it's Shabbos. So once we're moving them back, let's not just move them back to Erev Shabbos, you dochel the Yemaknisa. Then we should move them back to the Yemaknisa. And they should lane on Thursday the 12th together with the villagers. So we see that Rebbe holds that the big cities can be moved back to the Yemaknisa. So why don't we? So why doesn't he say the same thing in his Machlokas with his Tanakhama? Why doesn't he say the same thing, that we can move the big city when Purim was on Erev Shabbos, that we move the big cities back to Thursday the 13th? The answer is Hochi Hashta. How do you think to compare those two cases? Hosam Zmanim Shabbosu, in the case of the last Braisa that we just talked about, the defined day that they should have been laning is the 14th, comes out on Shabbos. Once we're already pushing them off, once they're unable to lay on Shabbos for the reason of Gzeira Diraba that we're going to talk about in a minute, then we're going to say that once we're moving them from Shabbos, we may as well move them to the Yom HaKnisa, since whatever day they lay in, even if they lay in on Friday, it's still not going to be the 14th anyway. V'hocha zmanim erev Shabbos. Whereas over here, the defined time for them, the 14th, is erev Shabbos. So there's no valid reason Rebbe would say to move them from the 14th. What, you're going to say you want to move them from the 14th for the sake of the walled cities? Rebbe doesn't consider that a valid enough reason to move them. So therefore, they'd stay on the 14th. But where they have to be moved, because the 14th was Shabbos anyway, then sure, Rebbe says you might as well move them to the Yemaknisa. The Gemara says, Keman Ozla Hoda Amr of Chelboy Amr of Huna. Which opinion does it follow? This, that Rav Chelboy says in the name of Rav Huna, Purim Shechali is for Shabbos, Akol Nidoch on the Yom HaKnisa, that if Purim comes out on Shabbos, everybody is pushed back to the Yom HaKnisa, to Thursday. And the Gemara interjects, one second, Akol Nidoch on Zachar Nidoch. What do you mean everybody is pushed to that? What about the walled cities are going to lay in on their regular day, Sunday the 15th? There's no reason to move them from their time. Ella, you're right. What he means is that anybody who's pushed off, anybody who's moved up, will be moved up to the Yemaknisa. Come on, Karebi. That would be according to Rebbe, because according to the Tanakhama of the last Braisa that we had, the second Machlokas that Rebbe had with the Tanakhama, then we would say that no, the Tanakhama would say that the big cities in that case lain on Friday. So not everybody is pushed back to the Yemaknisa, only the villagers. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off. De kulei alma mia megillah b'Shabbos leKarinan. The bottom line is that everybody agrees that you don't lay megillah on Shabbos. My timer. So why not? Omer Rabba hakol chayovin b'kriyas megillah or b'kriyas shofar, because everybody has to hear megillah. Ve'en hakol b'kin b'mikra megillah, but not everybody knows how to lay it. Gzera, Shem Yitlena B'yadei. So we make a Gzera that you don't lay them Megillah on Shabbos because you might take it in your hand. The Yelech, it's a Boki Lumad. You're going to go to an expert to learn how to lay the Megillah. The Yavirena, Abba Amos, B'shoset Abim, and you're going to carry it for Amos and B'shoset Abim. Behind time of the shofar, behind time of the lulav, and the same reason applies to shofar until to shofar until lulav, which we learned in the sechtur in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah. The same concept. It's called gzeira derabba. That applies to all these three things. In all those places we talked about, Tosfos discusses over there and over here. Why is it that we mentioned dafka carrying four amos in Rosh Hashanabim? Why don't we mention carrying? Why don't we mention carrying from Rosh Hashanayochid to Rosh Hashanabim? And the answer, Tosfos gives the answer over here and in some other places, that that people are not going to make such a mistake. People are going to notice when they're leaving their house and remember, oh, one second, it's Shabbos. But you could conceivably have the Megillah was already in Rosh Hashanah and you're carrying it for Amos and you're not realizing. And also you could have various cases where you picked up the Megillah not intending to carry it outside, and therefore you wouldn't be chayiv d'oraisa even if you did, but the carrying for Amos in Rosh Hashanah, you'd be chayiv regardless. So that's the reason why you don't do any of these, things when it comes out on Shabbos. So that's what we were saying. Therefore, that if Purim or Shushan, or if Purim, a regular Purim for non-walled cities, or Shushan Purim for walled cities, comes out on Shabbos, then we said we have to move their laning to a different day. So Rabbi Yosef, gives a different reason. The reason we don't lay in Megillah on Shabbos, because the eyes of the poor people are lifted to Mikra Megillah. Meaning, on the same day when you lay in the Megillah is when you give out Matonas Levyonim. You can't give Matonas Levyonim on Shabbos. Money is Mukzah. So we don't want to make the laning on Shabbos, because then the poor people aren't going to be able to get their Matonas Levyonim. The Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hochi. We learned similarly in Braisa. Even though we said that the villagers move up to the Yom HaKnisa, nevertheless, the villagers, the tzedakah collectors, collect the tzedakah on that day, the Matanas Lev Yoyim, and they give it out on that day. What do you mean, even though they said, it's just the opposite, not even though they said. It's because they said that you move up the laning, therefore we're saying you move up the Matanas Lev Yoyim. Ella, you're right. What the Braisa means is Hoyova Omrush, Kodem Akdim and the Yom HaKnisa, since the villagers get to move up to the Yom HaKnisa, also therefore Matanas Lev Yonim has to be on the same day, Govin Bobi Yom HaMachalkin Bobi Yom, Mifnei Shein Neim Shalanim Nesuris Mikra Megillah. Because, again, the eyes of the poor people are lifted towards Mikra Megillah, they expect that they're going to be getting their Matanas Lev Yonim then, therefore we don't want to disappoint them, therefore we make sure Matanas Lev Yonim happens on that same day. Aval simcha in an ehegas elabizmana, but the simcha, meaning the Purim Suda, that takes place only on the actual day of the 14th. Because Rashi says the chiyuv of that is individual on every person. So therefore, because after all, you do have, there are people who lain on the 14th, so therefore you have kosuminis on that day. So the Suda of Purim takes place on the 14th regardless. Tosfos, by the way, points out, Rabbi Yosef is not giving a reason, he's not arguing with Rabbah, because after all, his reason would only apply to Mikra Megillah. He agrees, you don't blow shofar and you don't take the lulav on Shabbos either. He's mentioning just another reason that applies specifically to Megillah. So even, let's say, for example, in the Bais Hamikdash, where in general we don't have Shavuos, we don't have Isurim of Shabbos to Rabbanon, so for example, we learned in the Masechtah Sukkah, that you do take lulav in the Bais Hamikdash on Shabbos, but Mikra Megillah would be different because even if you don't have Gzeira D'Rabba, you have this point about wanting to give Matanas Lev Yonim, which you can't do on Shabbos, and therefore even in the Bais Hamikdash, they would lay in the Megillah on Friday rather than on Friday or on Thursday, according to the different opinions, rather than on Shabbos. Okay.
Shukayach. Have a good day. Shukayach.